This evening, we have come into a place here in the month of November as we continue to get more revelation on fivefold ministry and being foundationed. And the Lord has me teaching this evening on the gifting of the evangelist. Amen. This evening, we will be discussing the gifting of the evangelist. And let me foundation that once again with scripture. For those of you that have the word of the Lord with you, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. And y'all got to know, I always like putting the word in your hearing to plant the seed in order to nurture that thing and mature it so it can birth itself in truth in your life. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 4, I would like to actually start at verse 7 through 11. And the word declares, and I'm reading from the Standard King James, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Everybody catch that. He said, I gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descend first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up for above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Amen. And with verse 11, I'm focusing in on the fact that he gave some evangelists. Amen. So now, let me begin to dissect and give revelation regarding the function of the gifting of the evangelist. Amen. Because understand, as we have read these verses out of Ephesians chapter 4, and if anybody's a Bible reader and they begin to read that whole chapter starting at verse 1 and focusing on that verse through verse 16 or 17, you began to sculpture a revelation and understand, in order for the manifestation of Christ to operate in you, all five are giftings that we all carry. They're more so giftings than, as we say, titles. Amen? They are giftings or anointings that all of us have that bring us into the fullness of the faith or the completeness of Christ operating in us. Because watch this. The word tells us in 1 John, we shall see him as he is. How can we see him as he is unless he can see himself in you? And in order for him to see himself in you, his DNA or his characteristics first have to have manifestations in you. What are the characteristics or the residue of his manifestation in you other than understanding that fivefold ministry is significantly about those DNA elements of Christ that all of us have? And see, the thing is, something can't birth itself unless it's been aroused. Amen? Basically, these elements are like sleeping giants within each and every one of us and have to be woken up in order for them to begin to make movement and manifest. So now that you understand that, it brings me to now begin to articulate what is an evangelist according to God's word. Now watch this. Evangelist comes from the Greek word eugelistis. And eugelistis means one who brings or announces good tidings that are associated with what God does for or to a people. So an evangelist is one who makes an annunciation, meaning they ain't got no shame in the game or open their mouth of telling the good things that God has done for us or for others or for themselves. See, now, with understanding that, the evangelist does this by making known to others what God has done in his word for them. And in that, not only is the evangelist the person that makes the word alive for the people that they tell it to, they're able to also tell you what God has done for them, or basically give a testimony. See, what really is the significant piece about this is the fact that the evangelist is the individual, whether we talk in male or female, that has first the ability to tell you the good news of what God has done or what God is doing. But in the same turn, they're able to still articulate that to the hearer by giving their own life story or their testimony to make it real. Because, see, if you understand this, when it came to Jesus Christ, Jesus continually emphasized that he was the Son of God. And everything that he did in the Gospels, as far as his life is concerned, he would articulate everything that God was doing. And see, if you really think about this thing, how is it that he was able to give parables or things in association that people could grasp, other than the fact that he had walked that walk, talked that talk, and lived that life in the maturing of his life in natural years? I don't know if nobody heard me right there, but what I'm giving you is a revelation. Jesus was a living testimony of an evangelist, because with that, he was also a moving preacher, one that didn't stay at home, basically, one that went out and was dispatched. But the fact is, even though he was dispatched, he could bring his homegrown raisin to the people that he went to and articulate what God has given him to give to you in a way that you can receive it. So now we still dissecting this thing about the evangelist, because, see, even defining the evangelist, we're going to go a little bit deeper. For those who got the notes, I also bring out the fact that they are preachers. And see, whether folks get it or not, you can't get this thing twisted. An evangelist is a preacher, because a preacher is one that is a proclaimer, or one who articulates or open their mouth about the gospel. Everybody that can open their mouth and tell somebody of the goodness is actually a preacher. Come on, somebody. Understand that they are, part of their identity is that they are a preacher that proclaims the gospel. And the thing is, they do this with an invested authority given to them, which is divine authority. See, when you can go among folks outside of your household and tell them something that causes a reaction, that means your words had authority to make them move on what you had to say. So now, a preacher or an evangelist is somebody that can take the word of God and speak that thing with authority, meaning they ain't pumped out on what they know or what they got to say. They won't sit there and stutter or say shoulda, coulda, wouldas. They have the ability to take the word that God has given them and speak it with boldness. Because, see, if you're a Bible reader, I remember Paul said, go before the throne with boldness. Well, if you go before the throne with boldness, that means you already got boldness when you go there. And that means when you come back before the throne of grace, you still got that same boldness. I hope I ain't twisted somebody up right there. But, see, these are the attributes, and this is what we got to understand of what an evangelist is really about. This is somebody that's bold going in, and they bold coming out. So now, they already understand that when they speak, they got divine authority. They got to have somebody tell them they got authority. It's part of their character, the anointing, when they go in and deal with folks and give folks anything that the word of the Lord has told them to give them. Now, another thing about the evangelist is the fact that they declare what God has made known unto them as it is associated with the word. Meaning, they don't give you nothing. If they're calling themselves an evangelist, if they're walking in the anointing, characteristics of it, they only give it to you the way God gave it. They don't put stuff in their own, fix it their own way, or try to twist something around and then tag God to it. I don't know if anybody heard me right there. So, basically, the evangelist not only is a dispatch preacher, but in short term, they keep it real with what they say, because they can bag it up by the word that they got it from. Now, watch this. I'm fixing to throw you another revelation here. When it comes to the evangelist, some may not understand that they are also designed to help you hear God and believe on God due to their conviction and experiences. Okay, let me keep it real for you. Turn with me to the book of Romans, for those that's got the word with you. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, the scripture says, how then shall they call on him and who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay, now, understand this. Remember, I just told you the definition of an evangelist from the Greek word euangelistes still identifies them as a preacher. So, by the word, it says here that they are the ones that are sent, and they're sent for you to be able to hear. See, the evangelist is somebody that's dispatched to the unhearing folks in order to give them an ear on how to hear God. Because, see, everybody will not dispatch themselves in order to go to the unsaved or the undelivered. The evangelist, however, is one that goes forth with boldness from their home camp and ain't got no shame in the game or no fear to go into a camp of unsaved or folks that ain't never heard God or heard his voice. Mm-hmm. And in the same turn, they're foundationed enough that they know that they were sent in order for somebody to hear.
Say that.
See, watch this. Still, understand, see, preacher comes from the Greek word kerux, which is defined biblically, watch this, as a military commander. But if you're going to associate that with a preacher, somebody dispatched for God, it means they are a divine military commander. Watch this, somebody really getting promoted that's listening to this. Because, see, when you are a commander, anybody know anything about the military, that means you got authority over people. Where does your authority come? It's not in your looks, baby. It's in what you speak out of your mouth as you give us an order. Mm-hmm. So see, watch this. The evangelist is somebody that carries authority in their mouth that ain't even got to give a direct command. But the words that comes out of the evangelist's mouth have command authority over those that hear it, that convict them to follow the order. Hope somebody didn't miss that. See, because, see, if I get a command, if somebody in a position of authority gives me a command, in most instances, whether I'm moving by free will or not, I carry out the command if somebody has charge over me. And, see, an evangelist carries the anointing that whether they've been given direct charge over somebody or not, it still convicts the person to have a desire to follow out the command.
There you go. Say that. Yes.
Can we still keep it deeper? Can we still keep this thing deeper? We still just on number one. What is an evangelist? Now, note that I said the evangelist's identity yokes with a preacher by scripture. Okay? Now, understand this. The Hebraic word for preacher is quelis. Q-O-H-E-L-E-T-H, which, if I summarize that, it means they are a public speaker that can gather a crowd and speak abstractly. Now, let me break that down for you so you catch Revelation and really understand Old Testament-wise what yokes to the identity or the gifting of the evangelist. When I say they are a public speaker, that means an evangelist is a person that has the ability to speak to folks, meaning folks they don't know as well as folks they do know. Because when you're a public speaker, that means you got an audience of people you may know and you may not know.
Okay.
So the evangelist is one who is able to carry and grab attention when they step into a place that they can speak to folks, meaning they're a people person. If you ain't a people person right now, baby, I'm telling you, you ain't really operating in the anointing of the evangelist yet. See, the evangelist got to be a people person because that's what their whole MO is all about. So if they a people person, Hear me what I'm saying. The definition says they can gather a crowd. All right, now, what is gathering a crowd other than the fact that you got the ability to be a lecturer and are able to hold people's attention? Isn't that interesting about an evangelist? People that's operating as real evangelists, they attention getters. That means they can hold your attention because they got something valuable to say. Because that means they're about to add something in your life. See, you like to hear people that can add value back to you.
Uh-huh.
So that means if I'm a real evangelist operating in that anointing, then I know you somebody very important and you're very expensive as well as your time and your anointing.
Okay.
So that means if I know, see, some folks should be even getting confident about themselves if they know they meet these qualifications. The advantage of that means if I'm worth something and my time is valuable, then I got to have a valuable word that come out of my mouth, meaning I got to have a mouth that don't speak nonsense. Evangelists are people that are no-nonsense people.
Okay.
Y'all know women know about that just like stockings. We believe in no-nonsense. Oh, okay, come on, somebody. So now, the word says, or what I'm bringing to you is they can gather crowds, and what's interesting is even in that definition of quelet, the Hebraic word for preacher, it says they speak abstract. Okay? When we understand what speaking abstract is, it really means that the one who operates under the anointing or the gifting of the evangelist has the ability to tell their own story the way they need to do it, and they can normally break the normal method of delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me make that simple like Simon for those that are listening. It means that somebody under that anointing has the ability to take the word,
mm-hmm,
and take their story,
mm-hmm,
put it together, like conjunction, junction, what's your function, and give it to a people without having to box themselves in with a certain type of philosophical way of delivery.
Hey.
Meaning I can keep it real and still tell you the same thing out of the Word of God that somebody's got a PhD can do. I can make this thing become real because now I'm not worried with how everybody expects delivery to be. I'm just going to be me and keep it real, but yet I can still give you the whole story and the whole revelation where you receive salvation and deliverance and come into a relationship with God.
Amen.
Now that we got foundation here of what an evangelist is, let me begin to tag back as part of the first part of the definition that I gave about the evangelist. As you just remember me saying, they announce or bring good tidings to a people.
Right.
So now, let me define, because, you know, the evangelist is the key person for tidings. But you can't be no key person knowing about an evangelist if you don't know what tidings really are. Amen?
Amen.
So now, the word tidings comes from the Hebraic word dabar, but the Greek word eugelizo, which means to declare, instruct, or show the news of God and his salvation as it applies to one's life as well as others. Okay, now, let me put that in simplicity where you can really grab this. All right, if an evangelist is one that brings tidings to a people,
mm-hmm,
it means they not only speak it, but they teach it and they show it. Okay, let me make sure you got this. Y'all know how we say you practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
The evangelists don't preach stuff they ain't living.
Amen, amen.
When they declare something on God's behalf, they done work through that thing. And that makes them a master or an instructor on what they got. See, a lot of people, just like I was sharing with somebody earlier, like I said, we shouldn't really say saved, we should say salvation, because there's different phases of receiving salvation. But the thing is, it's hard for somebody to get you delivered in something if they ain't been delivered in it themselves. They can't take you a place that they've never been before. Now, some people are like Captain Kirk. They'll boldly go where no man has gone before. But everybody can't take you everywhere that they go unless they've been there. Because, see, if I've been somewhere, then that gives me the ability to tell you how to negotiate and operate through the thing that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody hear what I said right there?
Because,
see, a lot of folks, you know, I don't mean to rain on some folks' parade, but a lot of folks can talk a good game when they tell you, well, I'm going to deliver you in this and I'm going to deliver you in that. Well, have you already walked that thing? Now, I ain't telling you God ain't gave you a revelation. However, you can't be a subject matter expert on a thing if you ain't never been there before.
That's right.
So now understand, if the evangelist is one that brings tidings unto a people, it means not only are they speaking something or able to instruct on something, it's something that they've already done or somewhere that they've already been in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So now, let me throw something else at you here to also chime this thing in to endorse the fact that the evangelist brings tidings. Notice that I said the Greek word for tidings is eugelizo, and eugelizo is only a root form of the word eugelistis that's called an evangelist. So if you're an evangelist, part of your anointing is that you always got something to bring or something to say or something that you've been delivered through that you can tell somebody else about or how to get delivered.
Okay.
Now, can I also give you a sidebar prophetic one on that one that's in the notes too? Not only is the person who operates in the gifting or the anointing of the evangelist a bringer of good tidings, they are also the good tidings themselves.
Down.
Watch this. Notice that I said they bring tidings. Tidings comes from the Greek word eugelizo, which is the root of eugelistis.
Mm-hmm.
So if tidings in its Greek form is the root word of what evangelist is, or eugelistis in its full term, the evangelist is also a gift that's sent to the people.
Oh, they don't just bring the gift, they are the gift.
Oh, somebody caught that. They don't just bring the gift, they're the gift as well. See, understand, everything of these giftings that are given to you also make you a gift unto others.
Mm.
Did anybody catch that? Fivefold ministry, remember I said, is giftings that are bestowed on you. So when the gifting is bestowed on you and in you, it turns you into the gift. So right now, somebody can give themselves a high five and say, man, I got a pretty bow on me. Because when I understand that these giftings are in me and on me, then that makes me just as pretty as the gift that I just read about. Now, let's still hold it there with tidings. Because, like I said, I don't want nobody who's listening right now to get this thing twisted. See, because, watch this, a lot of times when we talk tidings, people will say good tidings, and they think good tidings are the only thing that evangelists, preachers, apostles, pastors, prophets bring. But I need to make sure that you have in your hearing this evening, there's a such thing as good tidings as well as bad tidings. But all are still good tidings. Let me clarify what I'm trying to convey to you. See, some people think that when we say good tidings, it means you're going to tell me something, prophesy something, or declare something on God's behalf that I'm going to enjoy hearing. It's going to make me happy. It's going to be good words. God is going to bless you with dot, 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 dot. That's good tidings. However, people fail to understand that some tidings are negative the way they come to you, because as far as God is concerned, a good tithing is anything that gets you in right relationship with Him and deliver Him. Sometimes you got to hear bad news in order to get you in a good place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, let me foundation that. Turn with me to Exodus 33. Because some people got to understand this. Don't just lump good tidings as just being a positive word that you hear from somebody. In Exodus 33, I'm going to use this as an example. Let's read verses 1 through 4. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these," watch this, "evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments." So here by Exodus, God spoke to Moses and gave him evil or negative tidings in order to cause the people not to do a certain thing. Everybody catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you another example that some can even grasp it better than that. Let's look at Jonah. If you remember, for those that are Bible readers, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell the people there that he was going to destroy Nineveh if they did not turn from their wicked ways. Now, we know the story. Jonah tried to evade what God told him to do. However, Jonah eventually got there to Nineveh and delivered the negative tidings that God declared. However, the people heard the negative tidings and they obeyed what the prophet warned them and they changed their ways. And God did not destroy Nineveh. Is everybody grabbing this now? So you got to understand, when it comes to tidings that are delivered, whether we're talking evangelist, prophet, apostle, bishop, preacher, anybody that is in a position of authority that delivers a word on God's behalf, everybody can't get it twisted that they only sent to say good stuff that make you think you at the lollipop junction and everything is going to go be happy-go-lucky. Sometimes the tiding is still a good tiding, even though it's a negative word. So now, that brings me to the next point here. Number 3. Is the evangelist a scriptural gift or identity or anointing, if we may say? And if so, where is it referenced? All right. So now, I need to bring this to your attention. Of course, the term evangelist is only referenced 3 times in Scripture. It's referenced in the New Testament in Ephesians 4:11. And in 4:11, as we've already read, that's in association with fivefold ministry. The identities of Christ is hidden within you that you have to operate in. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. The next reference that you would find the word evangelist in the Bible is in Acts chapter 21, verse 8. And when one turns to 21 verse 8, what happens is the scripture references a man by the name of Philip, who was an evangelist. Now, what makes that very significant to you as a believer, because once again, a lot of people still get the word of God twisted. They think some anointings, giftings, or mantles or titles don't exceed the Bible itself, or it doesn't exceed key people that God used in Scripture to be in those titles. And what I want to bring to your attention is the scripture referenced a man by the name of Philip. We ain't talking about the apostle Philip. It just said a man by the name of Philip was an evangelist. So what that speaks to you as a believer is that, hey, that means I can be one just like anybody else can be one. It ain't exclusive to specific people that are mentioned in the New Testament.
Okay.
Amen? Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Now, the third reference is in 2 Timothy 4:5, as it is associated to a charge that is given for those working for the kingdom. Amen. Matter of fact, I would like to just turn to that right quick. Those got the word, turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, and it says, "But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Okay, so can I give y'all a sidebar prophetic on that? You, as a believer, are charged to be an evangelist because that credentializes the ministry that God has in you. Said it right there in the Word. It says, do the works of an evangelist, comma, make full proof of the ministry. Meaning, it manifests or makes self-evident the ministry that's hidden within you by you being a heralder for God, whether you at home or whether you abroad. That's what credentializes you. Understand, it's not the title that makes the person, it's the person that makes the title. The title of the gifting is made self-evident when you spiritually have within yourself that you're going to operate in something that you know that's hidden within you. Your works begin to manifest and it become a physical or reality in your life. So now, that would cause me to say, does the evangelist have any Old Testament foundations as it does in the New Testament? Now, as I just stated in the previous question that I asked and the answer that I gave, you will only find the word physically written in the Bible in the New Testament. You will not find it written in the Old Testament. However, once again, back as I began to give you the definition of an evangelist, I was able to yoke that to the identity of what a preacher is. Now, if we begin to exhaust the identity of a preacher and began to put it together with the evangelist, then yes, you will see it in the Old Testament under the terminology of preacher, because that's one and the same identity. Amen? So now, you know, just as an example, one could look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And matter of fact, please turn with me there because I want to read this to you in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this is the identity of the preacher. But now what I'm telling you is keeping the mindset as we're reading about the preacher, you're really talking about the evangelist. Hear this. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9 and 10, it says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, or as an evangelist is wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs." The preacher, or as we would say, the evangelist, sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. So what's deep about that is it says they sought out acceptable words of God, meaning delightful, pleasurable, but concrete and valuable. The preacher or the evangelist finds value in the Word of God. And the value that they find in the Word of God becomes concrete and foundational in their life. And in that, that verse really tells you when it says, was upright, even words of truth. Basically, the evangelist or the preacher feels accountable to the word of God. So they will not give anybody any old kind of word and say it came from God. Mm. So now that brings me to credentializing the evangelist. Because I know everybody said, well, okay, you've given us a definition of the evangelist. You foundationalized it in the New Testament. You've given us something to connect to it Old Testament-wise, if we had something to connect it to. But now, what are the credentials? If I'm beginning to look at myself as an individual and say, God, are you causing the birth of the evangelist spirit in me? What are the things I need to look for and identify with that I can say, man, I've got that thing hidden in me and it's about to birth itself? Well, here we go. The credentials of the evangelist, believe it or not, sits here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10 through 17. When you really look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look at also chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, because verses 4, or chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 actually gives the responsibility of the evangelist. But when you begin to examine 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4, those verses are actually giving you the credentials of the evangelist as well as the responsibilities. Hmm. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let me read these verses to you and bring some things out. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now this is Paul bringing some things to our attention that is associated with the walk, but I'm going to show y'all this thing lines up and yokes up with the evangelist. Ye and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Mm-hmm. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So what I've read to you, believe it or not, even though that's divided by chapters, all of that is a continuous thought that Paul is relaying. But notice within that, out of fivefold ministry, notice he identified around that doing the work of the evangelist. So all of these things that Paul spoke connect to the function of the gifting of the evangelist. So now let's look at what credentializes you. Out of that, he says, basically, the evangelist knows doctrine as well as the manner of life. Meaning, watch this, an evangelist understands that what credentializes them is they make it their business to understand the Word of God, and then they adapt it to the way of life that they live.
Wow.
They don't get a word and then don't press in to the blessing of understanding that word and then turn around and give application of the word to their life. Mm-hmm. See, some people continue to pimp the anointing of the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? They want to get in where they can fit in and get a word, but they don't take the time to give full revelation and understanding of the word in order to apply it properly back to their life.
Wow.
They only want to get into the hype mode and say, oh, that was a nice revelation that you give, but then they can't do nothing with it because they don't search that thing out in order to apply it. See, this is the credential. This is what credentializes an evangelist. They don't take shade tree revelation and do nothing with it. Now, once they credentialize themselves by knowing or understanding a doctrine of the word and then applying it to their way of life, what they then do is operate that thing with purpose. They operate it with faith or conviction. They operate it with long-suffering. This is the word. I ain't making this up. This is 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17. Long-suffering means with patience. So they now, once they put the word into their way of life, that means they're giving it purpose. It's going somewhere. It's going to do something for them. And be it that they got purpose, they become convicted about what their purpose is. See, you can't have a purpose without a conviction behind it. If you ain't got a conviction, then you ain't got a purpose. I don't know if that spoke to somebody right there. But the evangelist understands that credentializing themselves with a word that they get means they got to put purpose. They got to keep that thing moving. And when they keep it moving, they keep it moving by their conviction about it. And when they get convicted, that means I got to stay in this thing until I see it to the end. I got to be able to get in it to win it. Because we talk about long suffering, that means they got to be patient. They know some things ain't going to happen overnight. You know, even when you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there's a time and season for everything under the heavens. So the evangelist knows whenever they put their hands to the plow wheel about the kingdom, then there's going to be a due season for that thing to manifest. These become their credentials. These become what's in the toolbox of somebody that's operating on the anointing of the evangelist. So now, they also operate in charity, or as we say, love. They have patience, which translates out here as endurance. They have the attribute or the credential of dealing with persecution. I know that hits somebody right there. That means that they know it ain't something new. See, y'all remember Peter said, think it not strange that these fiery darts. Come on, somebody. If Peter said it ain't strange for you to have some fiery darts or some challenges or some persecutions in your life, then somebody that accepts an element of the identity of Christ called the evangelist or the dispatch preacher, if I can put it like that, you ought to automatically know everywhere you go, you're going to have persecution going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Affliction, which also means external. See, can I give y'all something real here? Real persecution is internal. Affliction is external. See, the evangelist understands their credentials. They can't get that thing twisted. Persecution, what you speak about, is the thing that you deal with internally. So that means everything that's going on within the credentials and the spirit of the evangelist, there's some persecution, meaning some internal feelings that's got to be adjusted. There's some struggles that got to go on inside of you that also affect you just like your external, which is your afflictions. Afflictions is like you getting cut or stubbing your toe, something that happens to your skin or your outside. And above all, when they put all them credentials together, the credentials together means they're credentialized and living a godly life. Now, let me still throw something deep on this thing as well about the evangelist. They continue in what they learn as well as know who they learned it from. Let me give you revelation there. If I'm an evangelist, then I understand that I'm in a maturing process. If I'm in a maturing process, I understand how God operates. For those of believers that understand this thing, God believes in relationship, meaning a marriage. Notice disobedience, he always referred to people as being divorced. So that means if I'm an evangelist, I'm a dispatch person that's speaking on God's behalf, then I understand that I got to be in real relationship with God. And if I got to be in real relationship with God, then that means I got to be in real relationship with somebody speaking in my life. Meaning, the evangelist understands, as we say about the prophets, you can't shack up with the anointing. Whoever is sowing in their life, they got a real relationship with them that's legal, that spiritually marries them, and they don't prostitute the voice that's connected to them. See, that makes everything profitable for what they got. And see, if I'm feeding out of somebody that's dispatching me, I need to keep a legitimate relationship. Meaning, I can't have too many daddies in my life. Mm-hmm. I can't be feeding at too many different tables. Because if I can keep this thing real, for those that know a little bit about the horror movies, there's a lot of folks that are operating as evangelists or leadership in God that ain't nothing but a bunch of Freddy Kruegers. For those that know anything about that, even with the character in the movies, he had too many daddies. Meaning too many were feeding into his life that caused him to become his own beast. And in the same turn, some folks are operating as their own beast, trying to be on a dispatch for God with too many voices speaking in their life. The evangelist understands that they have to have legitimacy with somebody speaking to them. See, you can catch that revelation even when you talk about Elijah and Elisha. You only have one person speaking to cause legitimacy to the maturity of what you're arriving to in your anointing. So now, that says, the evangelist also understands not only in legitimacy of relationship, but they understand the word is their wisdom. Okay, let me even take that deeper. They always know the word will keep them in a wise domain. Because if we kingdom, that means we're about dominion. So that means the word itself, they know, will be the master source. Even though they keep themselves legitimate in a relationship, because see, watch this. Even if the evangelist is one who can give their testimony and make the word alive for somebody else, somebody had to make it alive for them. So it means they had to have a legitimate relationship with somebody that was able to be an evangelist in their life, meaning they was the gift to them. Don't prostitute your gift or give your gift away to somebody else. Because, see, some people miss the blessing when God gives them a gift in their life. They throw the gift away and let somebody else take it from them. But, see, a gift is meant for an exclusive person. So if the evangelist had an exclusive gift in their life, then in the same turn, they become an exclusive gift to somebody else. And while they become an exclusive gift, there's somebody that's got the instructions on how the gift works. The instructions, however, came from the word of God that gives them the wisdom as to the gift that's in their life. Hope somebody learning something here. Hope somebody learning something here. So now, they know the word is wisdom to them, and if it's wisdom to them, the evangelists keep themselves foundationed with the word, because that means it's profitable. It's profitable, and then believe it or not, they always know the word, because if they don't dispatch, they ain't going to come and just get a word. The word is always going to be able to keep them in check. Mm-hmm. That's why by the scripture it says for their own proof or for their own testing. See, if I'm somebody walking in an anointing on God's behalf, there's something that's got to keep me in balance. Because if I keep everything to myself, I can sooner or later become my own God and not use something to keep me in balance. I got to have something else that's external to me to keep me in balance internally. So God's word never changes. That means it will always be in balance for anybody that falls out of balance. And so that keeps it the root and the foundation of who the evangelist is as they're dispatched on God's behalf. Understanding that, then it brings this, that now that they keep themselves foundation on the word, then the word that they use, when they put it in proper application, it credentializes the evangelist as to who they are, because that word now matures them. Mm-hmm. It's what perfects them or completes them. And now that means everything that they do is a good work, has a word mixed in it, so now that it makes it legitimate for all works that they do to mature them. Meaning they ain't doing no works in vain. Everything has a profitable result in their life as well as those that they impact, because the word itself was the foundation of the wisdom of what they're operating in. Mm-hmm. So now that brings me to the last point. What is the responsibility given to the evangelist? Now, remember I read to you 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5 is the hinging verses that says, because it says, preach the word. And remember I said evangelist is yoked to a preacher. So if the word is saying preach the word, it's saying evangelize the word. It means to proclaim the word. Now, watch this. The scripture says for it to be instant before it says in season and out of season. Let me give you a revelation on that. When it says instant, it said be on standby. The word instant in the Greek means be on standby, meaning always in the ready position. So if it says for you to preach instantly, in season and out of season, what the scripture is saying is be prepared to evangelize the word of God. Always be on the standby. Y'all know, for some that know something about preaching, some old pastors would always tell you, hide a word in your heart. Always have a word prepared to deliver. And that's what the scripture is saying. Always be on the standby, having your self-testimony mixed with the word that you're ready to give to somebody else, whether the opportunity presents itself or not. Because you are always on watch for God 24/7. You are always in position to be a herald for Him, no matter where you are, what time, place, season, place in the year, place in the month. God says, always be prepared with His word in your heart. And when you are in that posture, then it legally causes the responsibility of the evangelist to be able to use that word to reprove or to convict. Notice that I said you have a conviction with what you believe in and your purpose under this anointing. So with that, it gives you the ability to convict folks with what you speak. It gives you the ability in the spirit to find fault and to exhort. Because now, even though you convict, and even though the word you give find fault, the word also said for you to exhort. So that means, even though the evangelist has the ability to come with a word to convict or bring change, and they still have a word that may call some folks out on what their wrongdoings are, the evangelist also has the ability to love them and build them back up in the same stroke.
Amen.
Because see, it ain't doing no good for somebody to be dispatched on God's behalf and they tear down folks without a word to build them back up.
Hallelujah.
So this is all encompassing of the anointing of the evangelist. Because you're called to be a watcher. You're supposed to be cool, calm, and collective, if I can keep it like that, at all times. Because you never know what kind of situation you're going to be in to give your testimony to bring conviction and build somebody back up. So now, with that being said, I'm going to leave it right there because I want to give time for any questions. But I pray that everybody receive that revelation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, if there's anybody that doesn't have their phones on, they can take them off mute if they want to ask a few questions before I bring the Bible study to a close. But prayerfully, I hope that was a good revelation for some people to have a little more meat on what the anointing of the evangelist is.
Yeah.